Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Wolverine Podcast. I'm John Borton, and excited to be here with you tonight because Michigan, with a big win in the Big Ten opener in the rearview mirror, and now it's all full speed ahead to Iowa and the Hawkeyes. We've got someone that you recognize very well, Mr. Tom Crawford, in with us to talk about this tonight, and you know him from his Press Pass show with Jack Ebling. You know him from the Crawford Podcasting Network that he founded and continues. Tom, great to have you with us.
That's great to be here, John. It's great to be, 4-0? Hopefully go to 5-0. A win is a win, and a yard meant a yard. Last Saturday, as Bo would say, want to have a game where a yard meant a yard? Well, it meant a yard on Saturday against Maryland, and I think that what happened there was just perfect setup for a slobber knocker in Iowa City on Saturday.
Yeah, and there are people that are taking this a little lightly, I would say. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I think that a lot of people are thinking Michigan's going to waltz in there and just have their way with the Hawkeyes. But a lot of those same people were thinking that they'd beat Maryland by 3 touchdowns. That didn't happen, and we're going to talk about some of the reasons why. And I think one of them is particularly applicable to when we look ahead to Iowa and some of the things that need to take place. Second start for J.J. McCarthy. And third start for J.J. McCarthy. He was on point for most of the day, but what happened? You know, there were a few mistakes in there that could have turned disastrous and did not. You know, here's strongest arm you could ever ask for, got the good feet. I think he tries to do a little too much at times and extend a little too much. And we saw 2 fumbles on 1 series, and his teammates covered up for that. And one, what would have been an interception had the Terrapin defensive back not been out of bounds at the time. So it was very close to having a few more turnovers. And in a 7-point game, that's a big deal. Your assessment of where J.J. is at this point in terms of ball security?
Well, yeah, it's concerning. I mean, he's trying to make things happen. He has Charles Woodson saying, hey, God gave you these legs, so use them, so run around. And he did look like Fran Tarkenton for us old guys that remember back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And at one particular play where he ran for a first down. I'm confident that's going to be addressed. I'm confident he's going to own it. If you remember in the post game, in fact, I asked him about the overthrow to Andrell Anthony. He completely owned that, right? That was his bad. I guess this 110% arm now, all of a sudden the arm is better than ever. And so he's adjusting to having a completely healthy arm. So he's going to have to actually back down and adjust his delivery. It's like adjusting an RPM on an engine, I guess. And I'm confident that he will, the priorities are there. Although it is concerning because he's coming up, he's going to Niall Kinnick Stadium, where you've been many times. Mm-hmm. It's like going to a boxing ring. Okay. The fans are on top of you, and you have arguably probably the most opportunistic defense in college football the last several decades, it seems like. And Jim Harbaugh addressed that from the Norm Parker to Phil Parker days. That's how they roll. And look what they did against Rutgers. Their defense outscored their offense. I mean, they'll have a pick six, they'll have a scoop and score six. So I'm sure it's been emphasized greatly this weekend, or this week of practice leading up to this weekend. So I don't think you're going to see that. At least I hope we're not going to see that on Saturday.
Well, that's the thing. That's Iowa's chance to win this game if Michigan gives them opportunities. And the usually the easiest way to give opportunities is if the young guy calling the signals out has a day where, you know, he either gets picked off or there's some kind of a mishandling of exchanges. For me, it's pretty simple. I think that J.J. McCarthy is so talented. And with that arm, with the legs, he can do so many things. But I think there's still some things that he has to learn. And one of them, he could learn from the guy that he displaced in Cade McNamara. That being, understand when it's time to throw the football away or go down. Because in either of those situations, you are buying yourself another play. You're buying yourself more time if you don't get nicked up. You know, Iowa's got a tough defense. They will be coming after him. And there is such a thing as, try to extend a play as best you can. But if you see that it's going to get shut down or that there could be bad result, don't try to fit a ball in there. Don't try to take that one extra step. I mean, as far as zigzagging one more time and continuing to go back, get rid of it. Fire the ball out of bounds. Whatever. Put it in row three.
Yeah, and Maryland, quite honestly, had a little bit to do with that. I mean, I thought their defense was magnificent. They were bound and determined. Nobody's getting behind us, if you know what I mean. Yep. A couple times they did get behind, but I mean, everything was forcing Michigan to throw underneath, and I thought they'd go a little bit more. They went to Scooney and Bredesen here and there, but I thought they'd take the underneath stuff, and what they ended up doing is opting just, let's just run the damn ball, and that worked out pretty well. But I thought Maryland's defense was terrific. I really do. That that side of the ball, and then obviously the pass protection. And when we talk about Michigan's defense not getting any quarterback pressures in that first half, finally they got it going in the second half. That was really glaring to me because Tua's little brother had all time back there. And, and Michigan was struggling a little bit. But I thought Maryland to me, and I might be overstating this, but they could be at the level of Minnesota because we really don't know about Minnesota. Everybody's talking about Minnesota. As far as the new, the teams maybe are not expecting to be good this year. You know, Iowa, even though the defending West champion, I mean, everybody's thinking about other teams besides – Iowa, but I think that or Maryland, rather. I think Maryland and Minnesota are really comparable, and so I think this was a good win. This was a good win. I really do.
I think it has a chance to, as they say, age well. There's no doubt. We'll see what Maryland does from here. I will say something. Someone made a point regarding that pass rush that I hadn't really given a whole lot of thought to, but those that were around very close to the Michigan team during the week, they were hearing over and over that there was a message being stressed to these defensive linemen, stay in your lane, don't let him out, contain. And when you have that sort of approach, you may not be quite as all out going after the quarterback as you normally are. And so I'm thinking that there's maybe something to that in the fact that, I mean, and I was part of the, hey, they've got to generate a better four-man pass rush. But in this situation, I think, you know, maybe there's something to the fact that they had that in their heads, contain, stay in your lane, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with you to some extent, but I watched the game again this morning, but actually for the third time on BTN, and that's consolidated, condensed into 60 minutes. I understand that, but man, I mean, they just there was no penetration. I mean, the amount of time was incredible. Mm-hmm. And I thought Michigan secondary played one of its best games, and obviously coming up with two big turnovers was huge in that regard. I know we're going to talk about the secondary with Sanders still and some other people, but I was really impressed, you know, by the secondary, because it just wasn't anything there. But back to the original point. Yeah, you're right. You can't emphasize enough. I truly think J.J. McCarthy is going to get better. He hasn't played a lot of football. He hasn't played nearly as much football as Cade McNamara has, and including going back to 2 years ago. When he got in some action after the Joe Milton thing, you know, that went away. So I really think that, Saturday he's going to play much better. I think it's going to be a slobber knocker of a game, and I think Michigan's going to come out on top.
You talk about the guys that have played football, and I can know one that's going to be playing a heck of a lot of football, and that would be sophomore tailback or junior tailback Blake Corum, because this guy absolutely tore it up on Saturday. Jim Harbaugh was raving about him on Monday, about his ability to be close to defenders, get right up to them before making that quick cut and going to the house like he did on Saturday. Harbaugh cast it as he gets close enough that he can smell their breath and then take off.
You know, John, that, you know, there's another interesting comparison to that. And I'll go over to basketball. You know, when you're running off a screen, I mean, you don't want to cut the tail off you want to really make it tight. You know, it's like he's playing basketball. He's moving off a pick or something. I mean, that jump cut of his is amazing. You got that part of Blake Corum. And, you know, of all the guys that have been in front of us, and you've been doing this longer than me, that have sat up there in that press room after a game, okay? And we've seen them all sizes and shapes, okay? But I don't think pound for pound, inch for inch, I've seen a more impressive physical person than this year's version of Blake Corum. I don't know if it just jumped out at me. I go, my God, he is massive. His arms are massive. His quads, when he gets up and leaves, he's got that big old smile. You know, his body is unbelievable. It's freakish. And when you combine that with speed, I mean, he's got it all. He's got it all to be one tough dude to tackle. I think he'd be hard to find. Think about if you're a linebacker, you got to find him, you got to catch him, and then you got to bring him down when you get to him. And to meet him head on would be a tough order too. I think he's worthy of 30 carries myself.
Yes, you don't want to have to do it because right. you kind of did in that game. But I'll tell you what. Here's a combination for you. Jamie Morris size and height ability. Tim Biakabatuka feet in terms of making quick cuts. And what would
when
you
is
say?
When does Tyrone Wheatley come in? When does Wheatley come in?
He doesn't. He's not that speed. But yeah. But the third, I mean, he's got a little bit of Hassan Haskins in terms of toughness.
He does.
He can't run over people quite the way Haskins did, but you're right. Weight room warrior, very, very, very tough, and he indeed could make some tough yards at times and did on Saturday when he needed to. So I think that's a pretty good combination. What you need to know is he going to get some more help pretty soon? And that I think that can do nothing but help them. You'd like to see Donovan Edwards out there Saturday. We will see if, in fact, that happens. And you want to get help in this form of a sort of a mentally rebuilt CJ Stokes. Not necessarily that he needed it, but certainly there was a message delivered. CJ Stokes has a drive-killing fumble, and
he's done.
Didn't see the ball the rest of the game. Pure Montana weighing in saying, will CJ Stokes see the ball ever again? And my contention is yes, and pretty soon. But you need to send send a message, and it went not only to CJ Stokes, but anybody that's hoping to carry the ball for Mike Hart this year. Hey, can't do that.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, I was, this goes back to the Schembechler days. You fumble, you sit, it might take a couple games to get back in the lineup. Huckabee got away with it cause he was so good once in a while when he'd fumble, but man, that was, I was really surprised that we did not see him again. I mean, fumbles happen. I mean, but it's a message, you're right. It'll probably work, but knowing that, Blake Corum is capable of doing and embraces this opportunity, and he's a great blocker. He's a great vision runner. Iowa saw enough of him at Indianapolis last year in that touchdown run, but. They're gonna have to have balance to beat Iowa to move on this defense. I don't think you can be one dimensional. They're gonna have to run. They're gonna have to throw.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the more runners they have, the more capable runners that they can move in there, the better off you are, especially against a defense that's going to be as sound and as physical as this group of Hawkeyes. So, you referenced. Flipping to the other side of the ball, the Michigan secondary, I'm trying to remember a game that did not involve Charles Woodson where I saw two interceptions that were as athletic and kind of spectacular as the ones that we saw. DJ Turner with the dive and then Mr. Moten, RJ Moten with the tip into the air and then the diving snag.
Yeah. And you have to make those plays. I mean, and that's, you look at some of these great seasons that Michigan has had in games that they've struggled. It's been the defense making a key turnover. I mean, you can go countless years in that regard and that have turned the game. That saved the game. I mean, think about this game. If Michigan didn't, you want to call it a gift or whatever. I mean, you still got to make a play. I mean, they got 7 points in the first 8 seconds. And from that point forward, it was an even game. So, but the defense won this game, in my opinion, and Blake Corum, obviously. And they're gonna have a lot of these games where the defense is gonna have to step up. The defense is not gonna be as challenged against Iowa as they are probably the lion's share of opponents this year. Let's be real, Iowa's offense is pathetic. It can't move across the street, but it's an opportunistic offense. In other words, so if Michigan, back to the J.J. McCarthy phobia, are we worried about him going to fumble or anybody else? If they give him a short field and they get a, get inside of 40, I mean, they could score. And that's a lot of pressure on Michigan. Michigan can win this game. We'll win this game, John, if they don't turn the ball over. Or at least wins the turnover battle, they're going to win this game.
Yeah, and I think that part of what they have going for them is they're going to be able to really turn it up and turn it loose against Spencer Petras behind center for Iowa because he is not all that mobile. And I just think that they'll cause a lot of problems there. This is an Iowa team that has had a lot of churn in the offensive line from one year to the next, and not a lot of great wideouts for the Hawkeyes. No. It's the kind of thing where you should be able to contain them and not only avoid those turnovers on offense, but also create some things for your own guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, yeah, they don't have, when you look at Iowa's lineup, I mean, they don't have a name. I mean, the name you think about when Iowa, you think of Jack Campbell. We saw how good he was last, you know, in the Big Ten championship game at linebacker, at the Mike linebacker. But they don't have, you know, household names on their team. And so, and they don't have, you know, players that are getting, you know, on Heisman, you know, or, you know, watch lists of certain awards in the postseason. So, once again, Michigan's just got to worry about Michigan. And Michigan's got to manage the crowd noise. And this is the first time they've been on the road. And there's a lot of young players on this team. And, you know, how are they going to react? Now, I do like the idea, though, John, that they were challenged in terms of they didn't waltz their way through where the game was decided in the first quarter, which we've been experiencing with these, you know, three highly inferior opponents in non-conference play. So you played a legitimate opponent, a good opponent, and who knows how good they could be. You never know. That could be an 8 or 9 win season for Maryland. So that prepared them well for Iowa. Now, also, John, think back a year ago. Remember this? Remember the Rutgers game? And I'll never forget coming out of the press room, I've seen some of my buddies, and my God, it's like the sky was falling after Michigan struggled to beat Rutgers 20-13. Oh, my God, here we go again, blah, blah, blah. It went on and on and on. It was like Michigan had lost by 3 touchdowns. The next week, they go on the road for the first time, and they win up in Madison. Okay, big win. You know, I mean, it's a big win because it's a win, okay, because they can't win up there. And, you know, that, and then they had that tough game that they won at Nebraska. And all of a sudden, they got their feet wet, winning road games, and they're off to the races. And other than the stumble with Michigan State, so you know, this is deja vu in my opinion. And so I'm not disturbed at all by the struggle with Maryland.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, and I think that like we were saying at the start of this exchange. One of the big aspects of it was a Michigan secondary that seems to be getting better and better. I mean, that to me, they're the biggest pleasant surprise on the defensive side this year. And that is even including the fact that you're getting a pass rush off the edge at times, whereas people wondered if there would be that at all. Between Jamon Green and DJ Turner at the cornerbacks and Moten and some of these guys, some of these safeties stepping up, I think that you really you've got something in that second.
Oh yeah, and then Mike Sanrestill, Mikey they call him. Who would have thunk that the best guy in the secondary is a guy who moved over from a receiver position? I mean, it's crazy. This kid had 6 solo tackles. He had a couple assists. He had 8 total. He was amazing. But you know, have you noticed, like in these first few weeks, the same names are coming up, the guys that are at the top of the stat sheet: Junior Colson, Mikey Sanrestill, Mozzie Smith. They're and Michael Barrett. I think we're going to see him more at the top of the same guys are consistently making these plays. And then RJ Moten, and you know, the list goes down, but I think that's going to be steady. I think these are the guys that you can count on in that Michigan defense.
Sanrestill has been ridiculous so far. Guy's a highlight reel, and he's just coming over from offense.
I can't believe it. How does somebody do that?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, I was racking my brain. Okay. Well, what's the last guy that, you know, made that much of an impact early after switching sides of the ball for Michigan? And the voice of Michigan football these days, Mr. Douglas Karsh, weighed in with the fact that he said, well, Steve Hutchinson was pretty good, but that's been a while. You know, because he came in as a defensive lineman, switched to offense, and, you know, was one of the linchpins of that 97 group. But as far as Sanrestill is concerned, there's a lot of toughness going on there. You know, we talked about Corum being tough. Shane Ristil has got an attitude and a toughness. He at times will volunteer. He'll like, you know, put a bug in the coach's ears about, hey, let me play a little bit on offense. And that is not so he can get the ball in his hands, I am told. It is the fact that he wants to block. And excuse me. So that's, you know, I just, as far as you're concerned, I mean, do you remember somebody that has made that quick an impact and transition?
I'll go old man alert here. Okay, go old man alert. A quarterback named Jim Betts, who was Don Moorhead's backup. People go, who the hell is Jim Betts? This is in Bo's first team. He moved over to safety. He was All-American, and he would have made it in the NFL, but he had an accident as a intern at the swimming pool at Ann Arbor Pioneer, and a whistle knocked his eye out, and all of a sudden he couldn't play in the NFL. Jim Betts, remember that name? I'm telling you what, ask Brandy about some stories about Jim Betts. That was a guy who knew he wasn't going to play quarterback. He moved over to play free safety, and he was terrific. He was all Big Ten. I think he might have been all American. That's 50 years ago. So that's a long time ago. I can't think of anybody than Mikey Sanders still. I mean, since I'm sure we're forgetting somebody. But I want to stay on defense because there's enough people over there on offense in the receivers room. And there's also good enough receivers that are blocking. Ronnie Bell is a great blocker, obviously. And Andrell Anthony is a really good blocker. They're all good blockers. So, I mean, keep them on defense. They need them there.
I would agree with that. And I think that Jim Harbaugh agrees with that because that's what you're seeing. He is having that impact. You're in good shape at the receiver spots. So no doubt. All right. Let's eyes fully forward to Iowa at this point. If you go on our message board, you will run into no lack of individuals this week who are saying, with you know, the kind of bravados that you might expect, why are people scared of Iowa? Iowa's terrible. Iowa has no chance in this game. They're going to get blown off the field. What would Tom Crawford, who has been to Iowa City many times, have to say about that? I myself think that Michigan's going to win the game. So does Tom Crawford. I know that. But why is it overstating it to say things like, you know, this is just going to be a runaway. So what's the worry?
Well, I mean, first of all, they haven't won there since what, 2005. I mean, they don't play every year. I mean, and you know, it's a West opponent, so it's I don't know how many times they've gone and failed. We know what happened in 2016. It's just the environment, and the environment by itself, it's like that makes it tough right there. I mean, in terms of communication, the mental part of it, and fundamentally sound defense. I mean, when you have, and they have a punter who can, Michigan State and Iowa have the best punters, but Michigan's got a pretty good one in Robbins. I mean, they have a punter who can knock it down inside, I can't remember the guy's name, inside the 5-yard line, like he's, you know, like he's chipping in on a golf course or something. I mean, he's amazing. And so I think Michigan's going to have field position issues. And when you have field position issues in this game, I'm just visualizing how this game's going to play out. It's tough to move the football, and you're going to, you know, Jim Harbaugh or who's ever calling Matt White, who's ever Jerome Moore is making these decisions, which we still haven't had an answer on who makes decisions. Who makes decisions in tight games? I'm talking about the coordinator decision. You know, how liberal are you going to go with your approach with J.J. McCarthy for the reasons that you cited at the start of this podcast? I mean, do they go conservative and try to run Blake? Do you make your throwing game, you know, in the flats like it did a couple of weeks ago and low risk? Or do you, you know, where do you throw the dice in situations like this? And I don't know how Michigan's going to approach it offensively. Are they going to, you know, just play it tight to the vest and try to squeak out a win, which I think is going to happen. In fact, I have 20-7 Michigan over Iowa, where Michigan scores. It was a 13-7, and they extended to 20-7 late. That's just how I envision this game. I don't have any, you know, I don't have any crystal ball aspect to it, but I mean, I just see it. And it's going to be a hard slobber knocker game. And if Michigan helps Iowa, like Michigan, like Maryland helped Michigan, then you're in for a fourth quarter, you know, go, you know, just a, you know, white knuckle root canal game right down to the end.
Before I give you my take on this, and we discuss a little more, we got account 22 weighing in asking, isn't the night game environment the bugaboo? Noon game will help, he says. And I agree to an extent, but that is night game isn't everything in Kinnick Stadium. I agree. It's much tougher at night, and those folks getting really whipped up. But part of that environment is the fact that the stands are so close. I don't care if it's midnight or noon, and they're hanging right over you, and they are loud, and they are very intense, and it's a tough place to get things done on the sidelines.
Yeah, and back to you know, the night game, for all the reasons, you know, you're drinking, and now you know night games have a formula to them. Let's be real, you get a more amped up crowd. You got that part of it. Another part of it is you saw some of these games in Michigan. I mean, I go back to 1985 when Jim Harbaugh was a junior, and they lost number one versus number two, and it was, you know, wind, rain, blowing 40 miles an hour, and nasty conditions. That's the kind of game that Iowa likes. That's the kind of game that Iowa fans like, okay? Michigan, I think, is going to benefit from – I mean, from what I understand, I mean, particularly most of the Midwest, it's going to be a spectacular sunny, you know, 70-degree day. 73 is a high in Iowa City for a noon – so weather's not going to be a factor. And I think Michigan's offense – with the skill sets that it has at the wide receiver, and I think it's going to be a fast track, and I think Michigan's offense is going to benefit from nice conditions versus Iowa. Let's be real. I think that's a plus. So that's, I mean, yeah. Weather conditions, nighttime, those are all factors. Yeah, to account 22's comment, yeah, to me that's a factor, because all these environments that Michigan struggled in, like Nebraska last year. Night games are tougher. Look at Penn State. They're tougher. It just yes. is. For whatever reason, it is.
Well, we will see about your capabilities as a weather forecaster because that's exactly what they need. Noon game and some bright sunshine and a fast track. Because yeah. anything other than that plays into Iowa's hands. We want to just say this to our friends in Florida. We're hoping for the best as you get hit by the storm. And you're hoping that the aftermath of that doesn't make its way west into some of the Midwestern regions. But anyway, that you're right. It's as Michigan looks at this game, they've got to make as few mistakes as possible. And Dave Mays says, I sat through a miserable steady drizzle watching Michigan lose to Iowa in 2002. Yes. Yeah. And we all remember those. That's what you can't have. And the other thing you can't have, I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to stress it again. You cannot have a young quarterback making the big mistakes in this game. I'm not trying to, you know, you say that, and so you're going to have somebody automatically say, oh, you want him to be Cade McNamara. No, I don't. I want him to be the best J.J. McCarthy, but the smartest J.J. McCarthy he can be in that situation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this kid is very bright. He's very confident, and he's very humble. I mean, he's humble. He took all, like I said at the start of the podcast, he put it himself. It was my bad, and I think he's going to address it. You know, back to Kinnick Stadium. This is another bad flashback to Kinnick Stadium. Remember John Falk? Didn't he break his leg on the sideline?
Yes, sir.
Michigan's equipment manager over there. It's that tight, people. I mean, it's like you're flush up. The fans are literally on the shoulder pads of your offensive linemen sitting on the bench, and people are hanging over you. It's crazy. From a media standpoint, you can't even walk behind the bench. That's the true element of any. Yeah, and I'm going to say another thing about Iowa fans, and I'm going to say this because I know you've been doing the media thing only for 30 years, but I've done the fan thing too. At most of these Big Ten venues, and Iowa fans got a lot more snarl than people think they do. When it comes to Michigan, everybody's got snarl. Everybody acts like an idiot. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying they're Ohio State. I'm not saying they're Wisconsin. I'm not saying they're Michigan State, but they got an edge to them when it comes to Michigan. Anytime you come in there, the fans come in there, you're going to get the wrath. And I know the players are even more important, which is all that matters. I mean, they're the players that, people hate Michigan. Iowa hates Michigan. Iowa got pounded 42-3 in the Big Ten championship game. There's going to be venom in that stadium, and Michigan's going to have to manage that.
No doubt. As we wrap up, we are well into the fourth quarter. I just want to take a quick look around the Big Ten because there are some really interesting things going on. On the one side, you've got Ohio State looking like Ohio State and ramping up to play their part in what could be an undefeated matchup at the end of the year. I think that's getting ahead of ourselves. But also Minnesota is looks like the class of the West at this point. And their victim on Saturday, one Michigan State, looks like it has a world of problems right now.
Oh, huge problems. They're going to be dealing with bad weather, which might help Michigan State up because that storm is going to seep up into College Park. I think remnants thereof. But Minnesota was the takeaway, and it was a bit balanced. I mean, with Mo Ibrahim, we know about the running game, but Tanner Morgan has been there since Rich Rodriguez was coaching at Michigan. He's been there forever at Minnesota, the quarterback. He was brilliant. And yeah, they're the class of the West right now, I think, Minnesota. So that one has stood out to me. And then just Ohio State, they just step on your throat and pummel you. But that's later on in the season. But and Michigan has got to do the same. I mean, they got to get up on Iowa and they got to just figure out. We got a 14-point lead. How do we get it to 21? We got a 21-point lead. How do we get it to 28? This is how Steve Spurrier got one big games at Florida. He's always thinking about how do I get that to another set. Michigan's got to be aggressive in this game, I think, to win this game, in my opinion. But I'm not, I understand the downfalls of that. You could turn the ball over, but this is an important game. All these games are just so important. You got to win. They got to run the table. They want to get to the CFP and have a shot at going down to Indy for the Big Ten championship.
There's no doubt. Keys to the game, you mentioned them. I would say certainly what I stressed before, I can't stress enough, is that you don't make the big mistake on your offense against a team that doesn't have much of an offense. Because if you make Iowa go 80 yards on almost every drive, they don't win this game. Right. If you set them up inside your own 30 or 40-yard line, where they can have a couple of strikes, then all of a sudden everything changes. And with that builds momentum. And with that, things can happen. And they do every single week. I don't care what anybody has to say. That Iowa has zero chance in this game. We hear it every week, and we see every week somebody's on upset alert and somebody's getting knocked off that there was no way they were going to lose.
Well, that goes that turnover goes back to that sudden change. So the defense is out there working, and they're coming, they get off the field, they come down and sit down, and all of a sudden you got a sudden change, and they got to run out there, and they're, Iowa's at Michigan 38-yard line or whatever. That puts a lot of stress on the defense, and they got to react. So I agree with you. That's like I said, Michigan takes care of the football, and that's easier said than done. Then they'll be fine. But and then JJ McCarthy managing the situation, you know, where he's in a really tough environment. Now, he played up in East Lansing last year, bits and pieces here, and that's a tough environment, and that was a high magnitude game, right? And he, you know, he did all right, but you know, he lost the football. And so he can't do, you know, I'm not denying that that's not an issue of concern. I'm not pretending it, but I think the ceiling of this kid, I think he's going to be, and I swear to God, a year from now, he's at the end of next year, he's going to be in New York City as a Heisman Trophy candidate. That's my prediction.
I certainly think he has the capability of doing exactly that. But in my mind, his next step is from the neck up.
Yeah.
And that just involves, okay, make the good decisions at the right time. And there's no better time to do that than on Saturday in Iowa City, because he is one of the great keys to Michigan winning this game. Tom Crawford could do this all night, obviously. Sure. You are you're a delight to have on. We will be doing this again next week, and we will know whether or not Michigan has taken the next step, because you look in the next month, and it's next two road games, and then Penn State and Michigan State rivalry game. I don't care what you say. I don't care. That'll be another one. They're terrible. Don't talk about them like they have any chance in this game.
Right.
Well, we've seen some of the things that can happen.
No, so, it's this game, JB, on October 1 and the game on October 15. Those two games are going to determine how far this team is going to go. I know one's on the road and one's at home. I'm not, you know, belittling Indiana. Well, I am, I guess. But, I mean, I'm just saying this is a huge game. And from a developmental standpoint for J.J. McCarthy, this could be the block, the building block that really perpetuates him forward. If he has a great, you know, QBR rating, you know, after this game, and he has a great game, and just think what that will do for him moving forward.
No doubt about it. And we will be watching this one together. Tom Crawford, as always, great job and great to have you with us. We will do this again very soon.
Always a pleasure, JB. Look forward to next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.